Lovely to be with you. I know quite a few of you here very well. Some of you wouldn't know me, so just very briefly, my name's Ivor Cooper. I live in Leamington, on the north side, the posh side. I go to church at Myton Church, and most of you, I'm sure, are familiar that Myton and Salisbury churches have a long history. And I'm on the staff at Myton, giving a day a week to Myton, but to have a ministry that's wider than that. Now, I don't want to talk about my ministry, but I used the word there, ministry. That's our subject, what we're thinking about this evening, ministry. Now, what comes into your mind when you hear that word? Go on, give me a dictionary definition or your own personal definition. Mark, teaching. Okay. I must admit, the tradition of church I was brought up in, that's exactly what it meant. In fact, there were two types of Bible teaching. There was one which was calling people to become followers of Jesus. So that was gospel teaching. All right. Become a Christian. And then everything else was ministry. All right. So ministry had that quite narrow definition in my thinking, Bible teaching. But any other words or ideas coming to mind, yeah? Servant. Okay. You're being so spiritual, I thought some people might mention Harry Potter. And the ministry of silly walks, which isn't Harry Potter, but yes. So it shows your age there, mate, that's all it is. Yeah, but isn't the ministry of magic and the ministry of all other sorts of things, yeah? Say that again, Dolph.
One who communicates.
Yes.
The discipline that he's been trained in. So he reflects what he's learned through people.
That's a minister, is it? Or is that ministry?
That's part of the ministry definition.
Okay. Right, fine. Not sure if I fully understand that. Sorry, mate, that's my thickness. Yes?
The government.
Yeah, there's a whole area of Whitehall down in London, which is different ministries, the agricultural ministry. I'm sure it's called other things these days. But okay, so all sorts of ways that the word is understood. And it might not help us this evening because we're looking at ministry in the area of serving, and that idea of ministry and the word serving in the Bible and in the church are exactly the same thing. But how can we minister? What does ministry mean to us? Is it something that just Ian does because you pay him a lot to be the church minister? Okay? Or should it be broader than that? Well, I guess you know the answer to that, which is you don't pay him enough. But I guess the answer to that is that it should be broader. But we're looking at what we understand by Christian ministry. I want to show you a video that's done the rounds. You may well have seen it. But then I want you perhaps just for 2 or 3 minutes in groups of 3 or 4, just not on your own, just to unpack what you're about to see. Ask yourself a few questions. Is there any truth in what we're about to see? And what are some of the problems that are being highlighted by this video? Now, apologies, it's an American video, so you'll have to filter it through British eyes or whatever nationality you are and try and interpret it to here. Don't let the Americanism of it put you off. But ask yourself, is there any truth behind what we're about to see? Okay, Carl, we're okay with technology? Yeah. No, we're not. There's no sound there. Can we try it again?
Imagine a church where every member is passionately, wholeheartedly, and recklessly calling the shots.
I have a busy work week, and by the time Sunday rolls around, I'm tired. So how about a church service that starts when I get there?
Can do. When you arrive, we begin.
This guy, he plays by his own rules. We want to find a church where if he starts screaming, we're not the bad guy, right? Come here.
Say no more. If your baby's screaming, you stay seated. The others around you can leave.
You know, financially, Sherry and I don't give a lot to the church, but we'd sure like to know who does.
All right, if you join now, you'll know what every person gives in detail.
When I'm in the church service, can my car get a buff and a wax?
Not just that, but an oil change and a tune-up.
Hey, how about tickets to the Super Bowl?
That's asking too much.
I'm serious. If I'm going to join, I want tickets to the big game.
All right, you join now and we'll get you there.
I like a pony.
Look in your backyard. Me Church, where it's all about you.
Me Church. Who wants to join? Okay, so in groups of two or three, ask yourself, is there any truth in that? What is it trying to highlight? Okay, just for a few minutes, chat amongst yourselves. Do it quick, because we're not going to spend a lot of time on this. Half a minute. Thank you. Give it a buff and a wax. Okay, let's draw that to a close. Any comments from your discussion? Was there truth in it? Yes, says Jane. All right, so as you've stuck your head above the parapet. Yeah, that's so often, isn't it? What do I get out of it? Yeah. Anything else? Okay. Any other comments or questions? You want to find a church where the style of worship and teaching suits you, is what it can perhaps lead to, yeah? So you can grow. So there's a reason for that sometimes. Yeah. Yeah?
Yes, and sometimes you're not actually ready to be able to help in the areas that church is in need of. In other words, if it's lacking in the position of a finance officer, for example, you may not be qualified to be able to fulfill that role, even though it's a need.
Right.
So you might be asked to consider it, but you may not be ready for it.
Okay.
The Lord may not have gifted you.
So there might be holes in the church where you could serve, where you could minister, but you're not particularly gifted in that area. Yeah. I remember somebody saying to me years ago about the church that we know in the Bible, the church at Corinth, which wasn't a perfect church, had lots of problems. Okay? And one of the things that Christians could not do at the church of Corinth, that if they didn't fit in, if they didn't feel it suited them, they couldn't just pop down the road to the second church at Corinth. It was the only show in town, wasn't it? But of course today, if you don't like Saltersford, please come to Myton. No. But that's what we do. can't we? We can church hop very easily. So what does that do to us as people if we tend to do that? And we can tend to succumb to the spirit of the age, which is one of consumerism. That I'm going to find somewhere that suits me. And so we get this sort of musical chairs going on. So, it is a problem. It is an issue. In your Bibles, turn to Ephesians and chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. If you've got the church edition of the Bible, it's page 1174. 1174. And these sentences I'm about to read are some of the best loved sentences by Christians, particularly Bible-believing Christians, like you folks here at Saldersfoot, because it's a great description of how we become a follower of Jesus, how we are saved, and the fact that it's all of God. It's not what we do, it's what God has done for us. So Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of works, not by works, so that no one can boast." And if we're of that persuasion, we would go, "Amen, yes, it's all of Jesus, that's how we're saved." But Paul goes on to say, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do." We are saved to serve, saved to minister, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Now that's not how we're saved. It's not what we do that somehow pleases God and he says you've got enough brownie points, now you're a Christian. That's not what it's about. We simply trust in what God has done for us in Jesus, then we are saved. But that is not the end of it, because God then wants us to have productive lives full of service, productive lives. You will be aware, I'm sure, many of you, that in the Bible, particularly a book in the heart of the Old Testament, the book of Proverbs, where it has a lot to say about lazy people, slothful people. And God doesn't want us to be lazy. He wants us to be active, to serve him, to minister to him. So the question is, what do we do to express our salvation? What's the ministry, the service that we should engage in that shows that we really are followers of Jesus? The problem is that so many of us, we actually verbalize it in a negative way. We say, "Now I'm a Christian, I don't do certain things." I remember I was aware of this years ago. I was doing an event alongside a church. I was chairing it, and we had three or four people, Christians, from various backgrounds. We had a teacher and a policeman. We had a guy who used to work on the shop floor in industry, and that's my background, so that interested me, and somebody else. And I was asking these people questions about their faith and how it was put to practice, they put it into practice in their own environment. And we got to the guy who was on the shop floor. I said, "So what about you? Being a Christian on the shop floor, what does it mean?" He goes, "Well, what it means for me is that when they come round wanting to sell raffle tickets," this was before the days of the lottery, so the lottery would be the equivalent these days, "when they come round wanting to sell raffle tickets, I don't buy raffle tickets." Okay, fair enough. And then on a Friday afternoon, and we finish a little bit early on Friday afternoon, and everyone goes down to the pub for a drink, I don't go to the pub for a drink. And that's what marks me out as being a follower of Jesus. The things that I don't do. I don't buy raffle tickets, and I don't go to the pub for a drink. Now, please, do not misinterpret me here. I am not saying you should buy raffle tickets or lottery tickets, and I'm not saying you should go to the pub. But do you see how his Christianity was marked? By what he didn't do. And so often that marks us out. Now I'm a Christian, it means I don't do a whole lot of things. When this verse says that now you're in Christ, there's a whole lot of things you should do. You start doing things. You start to minister. You start to serve. Now, before we have a look at what are some of the things that we should do then to be ministers, what's some of the ministry we should be involved in, let's try and answer the question, what shape should Christian ministry take? What sort of things should we be involved in? Well, again, listen to the words of Jesus in the Bible. You needn't turn to this. But Mark chapter 10, verse 45, Jesus says this, "Even the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Even Jesus didn't come to be served, but to serve. Now that gives us a clue, I believe, as to the shape of the ministry that we should be involved in. It should be a Jesus-shaped ministry in some way. The sorts of things that he was involved in, and with the motivation that was behind the things that motivated him. I'm going to put up on the screen a very well-known verse, sentence from the Bible, where this is expanded a little bit, where it talks about the service that we should be engaged in and how it should be coloured, marked, shaped by the sort of work that Jesus did. And it's found in the book of Philippians, and it says this, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others." Okay? Now, I think this is a good blueprint, a good backdrop to what should colour and mark our service, the sort of service that Jesus was engaged in. So again, in your groups, just for a few minutes, pick up from that sentence some of the key words and phrases that you think should shape Christian ministry, Christian service. What are some of the hallmarks of Christian service according to those sentences on the screen there? So again, turn to you in your groups just for a few minutes. Talk it through. Another half minute. Okay, so what are some of the key words or phrases that should mark Christian ministry or service? What did you come up with from that? Yeah.
I think to me it starts to be administration and it's also humility value.
A community value.
Humility.
Oh, actually, community value, then that's a bad phrase, huh? Humility. Yeah, that's one of the things that comes out of that to me, isn't it? Anything else?
Being aware of what's driving me to do something.
Yeah. It's going deeper than just what you do, but why you do what you do, isn't it? It's the motivation behind it. Not looking for reward. Being you might, but I think if it's going to be Jesus shaped, then for his lifetime, Christ's ministry was unappreciated, misunderstood, wasn't it? Anything else? Yeah. That's used on two occasions, isn't it?
I think the picture is quite useful. It's that piece that's not where will fit in.
Yeah.
And complete, if you like, or impossible.
Yeah. We haven't got time to go into this evening, and this subject is so vast that we could start looking at the whole area of spiritual gifts and the fact that God gifts his people to serve his people. And the reason he gives a gift is not for the individual, but for the benefit of others, which is the same sort of thinking that we have here. And an illustration I sometimes use is what we do in our family at Christmas time, not so much now because the kids have grown up, but when they were younger, we open our presents on Christmas morning, which you think, well, doesn't everybody? No, they don't. Some people don't, but we do, all right? And so one of the kids used to go under the tree, get a present, and it would say to Dad. And so I put it on my pile, and then there's another one to Mum, and then one to Kate and one to Jen, who are my two girls. And then sometimes it would say to the Coopers, and it would be one of these general presents. And we'd put it in the middle of the room. And then after everybody had opened their individual presents, we'd turn to the joint presents, okay? And we'd take it in turns as to who opened those and who got the thrill of, well, it's usually a box of quality stuff, isn't it? These sort of, yeah, but those joint presents, sorry? Yes, the deep joy. Sell by date 2 years before, yes. But the idea that it's a joint present, it's not for any individual, it's for everybody there. And that's how God gifts us, and that's how God expects us to serve, not for our own good, but for the good of others. Okay? And again, in this world where the individual is raised to such a position and getting on in your job and doing things for yourself, it's hard to get that other way of thinking, that the reason that God has gifted me and the reason that God has put me into the church is not for me. I do like the fact that the songs that we sung, so many of them were we and our songs rather than me and my song. I know it's a very popular song and I will still sing it, but that song that's My Jesus, My Saviour, I think, why on earth didn't she just change the lyrics to Our Jesus, Our Saviour? It's so me precious, it's all mine. And actually what God has called us to is community, is us, and to serve each other, to serve one another. And that's really what comes out of this. Our service isn't for me, not what do I get out of it, but how can I serve others? And I'm doing it for the Lord. I'm doing it to please him, not so I will get recognition from others. So the two main things I've tried to draw out so far is that we are saved to serve. God doesn't expect us to be lazy. He expects us to be put into good employment in his kingdom. And we serve to please God, and we serve for the benefit of others. Finally, though, and this is what I want to leave you with, particularly as we're on the verge of another Monday morning, Let me read you a sentence from Colossians in chapter 3 and verse 23, which says this: whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord and not for men. And what that does for me, it turns the ordinary, the everyday, the Monday morning, the mundane, into service, because I'm doing it for the Lord. So that means whatever you're going to be engaged in tomorrow morning, and I know a lot of you are in education, and so you've got this 6-month holiday in front of you. Teachers as well. Yeah. You've got another week yet, though. It's just DVD week, I know. You're not bitter. No, but whatever you do, your regular employment is service. It's service to the Lord. And as followers of Jesus, that's what we need to do. We need to change everything we do and see it. And this is now service. I do it for the Lord. I don't do it for my pay packet. I don't do it for the recognition of my boss. I am doing this for the Lord. True ministry is not just getting the ordinary, not just working in the way that many people in the world work. The Christian Institute has really tried to get Christians thinking in this way. Some of you may be aware of the work of the Christian Institute. And they talk about full-time Christian workers. And they've got some badges with FTCW on it. I'm a FTCW, a full-time Christian worker. And it's not just for people like me and Ian, who are in what people call full-time Christian work. It's meant for every Christian to wear. And they say things like this, that when somebody asks them, what do you do? He says, well, I'm an accountant, thinly disguised as a full... No, I'm a full-time Christian worker, thinly disguised as an accountant. I'm a full-time Christian worker, thinly disguised as a teacher. I'm a full-time Christian worker, thinly disguised as a full-time mom, or whatever your job might be, because everything we do is ministry. It's service for Him. It should raise the ordinary into the special. So don't look for a ministry. Rather, view everything you do as ministry. It is service for Him. So let me finish with another video that won't need filtering, because this comes from a very British source, by a humorist that some of you know called Adrian Plass. Let's just watch this.
I touch goes spinning to the ground. I want to use a funny voice, mysterious and low. I want to spot uneven legs. I want to watch them grow. I want to have a little team, no more than 2 or 3, a totally devoted group whose ministry is me. They keep an eye upon my soul and tell me how it looks, and even more importantly, they help me sell my books. I want to send a prayer list out. Full colour ones look flash. The ones that say, oh, I'm greatly blessed, and could you send some cash? I'd send them out by first class post and please the folk who've got them by putting little written bits in ballpoint at the bottom. I want to be a humble star at national church events and lead obscure seminars in great big leaky tents. I want to say how I deplore the fans who wait in line. I want to make it clear to them the glory is not mine. I really want a ministry. I want to alter lives. I want to pray for something dead and see if it revives. I do. I want a ministry. I'm sure it's all been planned. And I'll make a start as soon as God removes the job in hand.
I want to have a ministry. Let's pray together. Father, as we've rushed through this topic this evening, I pray that what has been of you might remain in our minds and you'll help us to respond appropriately. Help us to see whatever we do in this coming week as service for you, glorifying your name and not seeking our own recognition at all. As we give ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you.